Lynn Fraser's going to help your finances get into shape. Financial Fitness with Lynn Fraser on Family Radio CHRI.
Good morning and welcome to the Financial Fitness Show with Lynn Fraser. This morning, I have the privilege of spending some time with Michael Gibney, who has traveled all the way from BC to be with us today. And so, Michael, welcome.
Thank you.
Michael, could you just spend a little bit of time and explain to our listeners about the great work that you're doing, and so they really know who you are?
Sure. The great work, hopefully that is what it is. I believe it is. I guess 25 years ago, I started in the financial services industry and, basically looking to apply some of my skill sets and found a job and, it was going well. But I really wanted to find a way to practice my Christianity in the work that I did. Mm. So I started looking for different organizations that knew how to apply biblical principles in the area of finance. And
rare.
Yeah, it really was hard to find people who had built systems and process to kind of, walk people through and that weren't flaky and weren't, coming up with these crazy ideas that actually really did understand the Bible. So I found an organization in the U.S. called Ronald Blue & Company, and they worked with higher net worth people. And I thought, well, okay, I can deal with that. That's probably, I've got a core competency in financial planning and technical skills and so on. But really, they had the heartbeat of what I wanted to do, which is, they had broken out the Word of God and said, okay, well, what does the Word say on this? And Crown Ministry also does a lot of work with them. And so I thought, well, okay, this is the group I'd like to work with. And about 11 years ago, I started an organization. It's called Covenant Planning Group. And I have 20 team members. And and basically, we have a work that we do working with typically higher net worth people because of the type of work we specialize in. But, it's the same principles, whether it's a high net worth person or not. It's the Word of God. It applies to everyone. So I've been doing that for 11 years and really enjoy it and very thankful.
Awesome. So as you're working with higher net worth clients, do you find that they are challenged with stewardship?
Yeah. The beautiful thing about God is he's an equal opportunity God. He doesn't, make anybody, he doesn't apply his word only to some. So basically, they're dealing with the same stuff everybody's dealing with, which is, what am I supposed to do with, what I have and how do I manage it? And that includes time. Your talent. It's not just your money. And what we found is that we need to see the whole person. And, the high net worth people, quite honestly, I deal with high net worth people during the day and I give away my work at night or on weekends to people who have really, really low net worth. And I'm convinced they have exactly the same problems. It's just there might be some, zeros missing. But, quite honestly, they deal with stress, fear, overthinking about it, all sorts of issues. And so it's helping them deal with those that are really the key to living a peaceful life and being a good steward.
I know that many people that I have come across in the work that I do would be of the understanding that if their income just increased, all their issues would go away. They just needed to make more money and then all their problems would be solved. What do you think?
I've heard this joke said by a few, especially in the world of Christian planners, is, the joke is, how much is enough? And the person said, well, just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, that's what I've seen. I've seen people with, no matter how much they have, they're always, often, they're looking for just a little bit more, or they're worried about how they keep what they have. So, the amount of money I can clearly, and by examples repeatedly show you, it doesn't matter more or less, it's the same stuff. It's about the fear, the trust, the proper listening to God about what should you do with what you've got. How do you get through this difficult time? So the high net worth person, the really wealthy person, they've got all these employees, and all of a sudden they have a difficult time in their business. All of a sudden they don't have enough money to keep their employees going. So they're stressing just like the one who doesn't know how they're going to pay their car insurance when it's renewing. And they need to get to work. To the high net worth person who's about to lose a whole bunch of employees, their stress is just as real as the person who can't buy his car insurance.
True.
And so the fear, the anxiety, the lack of trust, You know, that's where the commonness of it is. And God just says, no, hold it, I'm actually there for you.
So whether it's in lack or in plenty, I mean, good stewardship is basically the same. The biblical principles are the same. He's the same God. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of listening to him, trusting in him, and knowing that he's the provider.
Yeah, and that, often that's the hard part. It's funny because, you know, you see a successful business owner who's a Christian. It doesn't necessarily mean he's actually applying his Christian principles really well. He's not necessarily even believing by faith. He might just have a gift in business. I'll ask a Christian business owner, have you prayed about this? And he goes, no. And I'm going, well, you know, why not? Doesn't God want to participate? So, you know, what I found by asking that question, really, that's what I do for a living. So I ask them questions that make them go, oh, yeah, right, I should invite God into this. Mm. And so it ends up helping them turn to God. And for me, if I'm working with a single mom who, you know, she just doesn't know how she's going to make ends meet, she's in debt, she's trying to figure out if she should still tithe or give money off of that. And I'm going, well, actually, yeah, because the principle is still, you know, give off the first fruits and then deal with all the problems after that. And I've taught over 25 years of this, and I've put the challenge out to single moms and unemployed people where I go, look, you know, you take a step of faith. You don't have to take a huge one. Just take a little step of faith and watch God honor his word. He'll step in if you step forward and trust him in his principle. But a lot of, often they just don't invite God into it other than just, you know, God help me. You know, they don't know what to do to take an action in getting God to help them.
So what would you say to someone that came and said, I'm struggling with this issue. I'm stressed. I'm afraid. I don't know what the future holds. Life is getting difficult. Mm-hmm. My marriage is struggling through all of it. Whatever question they initially come with, What would you recommend as the first step?
Yeah, it's the beauty of it is we're all built the same way. We can only deal with what's in front of us. We can only deal with, you know, a limited amount of stuff at one moment. So for me, everyone should do it the same way, which is write it down, get it in front of you. So like, what are you stressed about? My car insurance, it's coming due. Okay, great. And, you know, people go, why? What does it matter if I write it down? And the stats and the people who've gone and, you know, found out what all the statistics are on these things have found out that it's basically proven out by people who have succeeded through problems that the people who actually write down and make some goals, they actually succeed typically more. A lot of people don't like to do it. They don't think it's a value. So for me, you apply that natural statistic that, you know, if people write down and make a goal, they'll actually achieve more. But then you put it before the Lord, and the Bible says you have not because you asked not. The Bible says that, you know, God wants to participate. And so by you writing down in front of the Lord and say, Lord, here are my problems. Like, I got lots of problems. Come to my house, Michael Gibney's house, you will find lots of problems. But generally speaking, I'm trying every day to just deal with the one in front of me. And I'm inviting God after I've written it down. I say, Lord, I'd really like to work out this situation with my family. You know, I'd really like to work out this situation with this financial situation. And I write it down and I just put it before him. And I've invited him that way to get involved with me.
So the person you said that might have a car insurance issue, just take out a piece of paper and write down, Lord, I need help with this.
Yeah.
Can you show me what to do with this? Can you send someone that can help me with this?
Exactly.
And Lord, I'm entrusting this to you. And when they do that, they can expect a response.
Well, see, the beauty of it is you use that word entrusting. You know, again, the principle is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I get a little emotional on that one because it's sometimes people forget that they don't have to be smart enough to figure it out. He actually gave you the right there. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. He didn't say be smart enough, figure it out by yourself. He just said, trust me. And with that, he said also in his word, you have not because you asked not. And this isn't a, you know, write it down and proclaim it thing. This is actually, here it is, Lord, I'm asking you for help. I don't know. But, and then the final beautiful scripture is that faith is what pleases God. In fact, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Father, I've got this problem. I don't know how to solve it. I have faith in you. I don't know how you're going to get me my car insurance. Here it is, Lord. And he says, let me provide. So with that, he will then, I don't know, circumstantially, he'll invite somebody to knock on your door, or, you know, I mean, it's crazy, you know, you hear all the sorts of stories, but you'll be introduced to somebody who will be able to help you find an extra job, or, you know, somebody who comes along and says, you know, for some reason, the Lord stirred me up to give you this extra money, or you'll save money on something that you didn't know you'd save on. There's just amazing amounts of little stories, and God is really into the little story. He loves the little story, but when you've written it down and you're expecting it, you see the little stories. Hmm. And then you see God participate and you go, this works. And again, whether the numbers were a high net worth or a low net worth, he just wants to participate.
Wow. I often say when I'm praying with clients in my office that I picture God sitting on the edge of his chair waiting for the phone to ring. Waiting for us to call and say, I want your help. I want you to be included. Because he delights in the details of our lives. It gives him joy to respond. First of all, it gives him joy to know that we want him in our lives. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it gives him great pleasure to be the answer to our questions.
Well, you know, and I think we're all carrying this guilt in life. You know, we're never measuring up. We're always less than. There's always someone better, whatever. Hail Marys to went to Sunday school one time or whatever it is, or you yelled at your spouse or, you know, you've done this sin. And so therefore, well, God doesn't want to listen to me. And, often what you did there, just as that example, is the perfect example people need to draw themselves back to. And God is really, he's really good in keeping things simple. Because as a father or as a mother, you think about your child who's just done that thing they shouldn't have done. They come up to you and say, you know, Dad, Mom, I need help. And, you know, you're not going to turn them away. And how much more your Heavenly Father who loves you. Mm-hmm. So he just says, you invite me, I come. I'm going to be there. Instead of this feeling like, well, he's not going to be there for me. No, think about your mom and dad. And of course, some of us don't have great examples of mom and dad, but we know what a mom and dad should behave mm-hmm. like. Well, then times it by many fold for how your Heavenly Father would treat you if that's our example. So like you said, just go into him and knowing that he wants to participate. He wants to help us.
Hmm. So as we ask and we expect, you know, we talked about people in crisis, people that have a great need. But I know that many of the people that listen and many of the people I speak to on a regular basis don't necessarily see themselves in crisis, don't see that there is a real deficiency, that the debts are being paid, their bills are being paid on time, and life is just going along. But the biggest challenge I think they face is complacency, or they're spending a life. The life is just disappearing, and then suddenly they wake up at 40 or 45 and go, is that all there is? Is there nothing more to this? Michael, I know that in your approach that you deal with those circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you hear about the midlife crisis. You hear about those people get there and go, oh, what have I done with my life? But for most of us, we live along and do our thing. And, you know, so the key is I lost my dad when he was 49, my mom at 52. So I'm one of those
wow.
people in life who knew that life wasn't necessarily going to be a long journey. And with that, I probably have lived a little different because of that, with this recognition. Well, okay, how long do I have on the planet? You know, when you align that with the Word of God that says, and Old and New Testament, for those who'd like to wonder if it's there, you know, that you will actually stand before the Lord. And there's two tests, first and foremost. There's actually one test for some, and if you pass the first test, you get to go to the second test. The first test is, did you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Not were you good enough? Did you do all sorts of good things? Did you accept Jesus Christ? Is that where your faith is? Okay, great. Test number two. And by the way, you don't stand there with your spouse. You don't stand there with any financial partner, or you stand there by yourself. And you get asked this question, old and new. What did you do with what I gave you? And he wants to hear your response. And so we have this responsibility to answer that question on a daily basis. What did I do today with what he gave me? I don't have to do what someone else is doing. I love it. I teach baseball with my kids. They're 13, my youngest kid, and my oldest is 22. And I'm a great baseball coach for this reason, because I don't try to make them as good as the other guy. I just try to make them their best. And if they will try their best, they always, always do well. And that's what I believe we need to do. It's like, just what am I doing today? Am I doing something of value? And, you know, I think we would all do ourselves a favor if we just say, well, okay, yeah, I don't have to become something someone else wants me to be. Am I investing well today? Am I spending my time? Am I getting the most out of my life in what I believe the Lord's asking me to do? And that's why, I really would say the heart of our company is based on getting people to address that question on a daily basis. What did you do with what God gave you?
So we talked earlier that the work that you do and the work that we do at More Than Enough are very similar in terms of helping people to start to create a life plan or a plan to based on understanding that God has put desires in their heart that are unique to them, and then starting to formulate a plan around them in terms of applying their time and their treasure and their talents in an intentional way to achieve the desires of their heart, because that's what God created them for. And so whether they have a large income or a small income, I think it's pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Often some of the work we do is we transition businesses. So you get a father and a mother who've created a business and they want to transition to their kids. And I'm going, well, first and foremost, should you? Like, do they really want to do that business? Like, what has God designed them for? Mm-hmm. Don't assume just because God got you to do this that, you know, your children should do the same thing. God is an individual. Like, he really loves the creativity of, you know, his individual creation. I mean, I think we're all absolutely designed perfectly. I have a mentally challenged child, and I guarantee you that he's loved just as much as the other three. I have a child that is in his mental difficulties has been designed perfectly by God, and I get the privilege and the pleasure as a father to be able to help unpack what those gifts are going to look like. And that could be the best sweeper in that warehouse. But if he comes home and he's proud, yes, that he did a good day's job, or he worked hard, you know, that he did the best he could, he ends up with that sense of, well done, thou good and faithful. So, you know, that's, I think, what we're looking for. You know, each one of us wants to hear, thou well done, thou good and faithful. You know, and again, with all of our wrinkles and all of our faults and all of our daily sins that God graciously forgives us of, that, you know, hey, you're stepping out, you're trying, you're saying, I want you, Lord, to give me direction. And I think, you know, I think people are missing a lot of a living relationship because they think, maybe he doesn't want to do that, but he so wants to do that.
Thank you for that. I think part of the challenge that we face in our world is that we are on this treadmill that is spinning so fast, and it's the speed seems to have been set by someone else. It's set by the culture. It's set by ambition. We're taught from the time that we can breathe, we're taught that we need to be somebody, we need to make something of ourselves, we need to do more, be more, have more. And the media and the advertising and the whole world around us is designed to get us on that treadmill and to turn up the speed so fast that we can't stop to think about where we're at, who we are, and what we're doing. And so, in order to write it down, you know, right back to your first step, in order to write it down, it means stopping and getting off that treadmill long enough, spending some quiet time with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm here and I'm going to rest in you, and I'm going to just let you speak to my heart. I'm going to open my ears to hear from you, and I'm going to write it down, and I know that you're going to meet me here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because, you know, I have a Bachelor of Theology. Most people don't know that because it doesn't really come up. Well, it needs to come up in this one because I remember trying this way and that way and this way to please God and figure out how I position this whole thing. And then I realized through this journey, I'm 48 years old, and that was many, many, many years ago. And I actually just went in there to learn about God. I kind of now don't really like the got to do it this way, has to be this format, you know, what does a time with God look like? Is it a book in your hand, the Bible in your hand? Is it on your knees? Like, you know what? Anywhere, anytime, a living God. So whether you're sitting out in, you know, looking over a lake or, you know, in a meadow, or if you're just at your desk, or if you're, you know, getting up in the morning, getting your cup of coffee, and you just pause and invite him in with that little piece of paper, and not making it complicated, not working on forms and process, just starting with the first, Lord, here it is. I need to deal with this issue, or the second part we're talking about, which is, you know, what would you like me to do with what I have? And then just inviting him into that process and keeping it that simple. And then just enjoying the fact that you finish your coffee, or that you're enjoying looking off into that meadow. And honestly, I'm a planner for a living, so it sounds like, well, is he just that airy-fairy kind of guy who says, no, I actually can overplan, but I don't. God really likes you to be quiet and just put it in front of him and just rest and wait on him so that he can show up. So I like that. You know, you're not chasing somebody else's thing or doing it somebody else's process. No, just you, God, cup of coffee, meadow, wherever it is, and begin that little quiet time and watch a living God speak.
I love it. I know. It reminds me, if I went back to when I first became a Christian, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't have any theology. I didn't have anyone around me to teach me about this Christian process. But I went down to the waterfront and took, I got on my bike, took a backpack, took some water, took a journal and a Bible, and I went and sat by a tree, by the water, and asked God what, asked him to speak to me because someone told me that he would. Right. And I don't know where that journal is anymore, but I'd sure like to find it because he spoke to me. And that was the first time as a new Christian. I didn't know any process. I didn't know what was in the Bible. I just knew that if I went and I listened, he'd speak to me. And that's it. So I have that assurance. And I know that everyone that's listening can have that same experience.
Yeah, I believe it. Absolutely.
Well, this show is a financial fitness show, and we've spent very little time talking about finances, but I think that's really what we're meant to do here. It all belongs to Him. There is no lack. There is no shortage of funds available. And when He wired us with the desires, I mean, the desires that are in our heart are part of our DNA.
That's right.
He hardwired those in there. And so when He put that in our heart, He also planned on providing all the resources we needed to fulfill that. And so getting in touch with Him, I think, is the first key to unlocking that.
Yeah.
So
financial wisdom, he wrote 2,350 scriptures. It's the most talked about subject. It is the thing he can talk about. He can talk to you directly. But at the end of the day is we need to realize it starts with him. That's where your financial plan starts.
I think he wrote so much about it because it is the greatest thing that can stand in the way of our relationship with him.
Well, you know, I've said to people, I says, you know, if you think about it, 50% of marriages fail. It's shameful. It's hard to believe. You know, I grew up in a broken home, so I knew that. I've been married for 24 years, and I'm very grateful my wife has hung in there for that time. But at the end of the day is that this, you know, statistically, most of these failed marriages, and I mean most being statistically, we're talking, you know, 60, 70, 80% of them are failing because of financial stress. So the reality is we need to get a hold of our finances. We need to submit them to God. We need to recognize how they're impacting our lives. And so, you know, again, from a financial planning perspective, to bring it back to that, you know, what's the advice? If you run a company, if you have no money and you're looking to pay your bills, by writing it down, you are on track to begin a process to allow God to show you how to get through that. And for me, you know, if I was just going to wrap around the financial planner in me part, and I'm fairly competent in that area, I really enjoy that area, I would say it took me 18 months to design my own first budget. 11 years ago, I opened this company. 25 years ago, I got in the business. My solution to problems with money was just go make more. Well, that is, God said 13, 14 years ago, no. You have to start planning now and work with your wife, Tanya. It took us 18 months. It was very stressful. So I just, every time I get stressed, I put it down and then I come back to it the next week. And we just agreed that we get as far as we could, put it down, come back the next week. And eventually we got through it. And we were able, after 18 months, to not have it overtake us or overwhelm us, but just started working it through. And there's lots of good financial planning material out there that can help you do that.
Awesome. So do something. Start with relationship with him, write it down, and see where he leads you. Because he will. Michael, our time is up. So I want to say thank you so much for coming. And I really hope that the next time you're in the city, that you'll come and see us again.
Well, thank you. And maybe we'll, address more of the specifics of financial tools, because they're great, but it is a joy. I believe you folks have the similar heart that I do in trying to help people to just, go to God and get these answers and deal with this stuff, because it's a real stressful thing without God in it.
Awesome. I just want to take a minute and close in prayer.
Please.
So, Father, we just thank you that you are the great provider.
Yes.
And you are always available to us. All we need to do is come to you, and you listen. You already are prepared. You already know what's on our mind and what's on our heart. And so when we come to you, you just delight in the details of our lives. When we come to you and say, Abba, Father, we need your help, you're faithful to provide it. You'll meet us in our need. You'll guide our steps. You will direct us. You won't let us turn to the left or the right, but you will keep us at the center of your good and pleasing and perfect will when we come to you and say, help. So I thank you, Father. I just pray that each one that's listening will take that first step in coming to you and asking for that help, and then writing it down and say, and then watch, as Lord, as you do something amazing in their lives. So we thank you for what you're going to do, and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So if you have any questions, we encourage you to call us at 613-520-4157. Or go on to chri.ca. You'll find the financial fitness logo there, and all the contact information for me and More Than Enough is available there. Send us an email. You are welcome to come to our financial fitness seminars. You'll see them on our website, and so you'll see the next dates. And we look forward to seeing you there, but do take the first step. I look forward to speaking with you again next week, and have an awesome day filled with hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. God bless.